This episode of The Accidental Entrepreneur is sponsored by NowSite Marketing, the first all-in-one marketing platform powered by artificial intelligence. Bring all your digital marketing to a new level with their simple three-click method. And by Digital Accelerant, the digital mobile business card. Text the word LAW to 21,000 to get connected and learn how to get your own digital business card. And by Fetch Internet, the secure high-speed app that eliminates the need to pay for hotspots or use public unsecure Wi-Fi. Listen to all of our sponsors' commercials later in this episode and follow their links in the show notes to learn more about their products and services.
Right, remember that?
And yeah.
Dot-com bubble birth, and then 9/11. So it was like a 1-2 punch in our economy where things really went into a negative spiral. And I had been working as a computer engineer. I was at a tech startup that had imploded and I lost my job.
Right.
And this was not the first time I had gone through that experience, but I realized I had been spending all these years of my life just building someone else's dream instead of building my own.
Right.
And what that soul searching time did for me is that I came to the realization that I needed to have other sources of income so that I wasn't dependent on the paycheck for my job. And so eventually I continued working as an engineer, but I started investing in assets that would pay cash flow and income.
The information provided in these episodes is for entertainment purposes only. It is not a guarantee of success or to be construed as advice of any kind. You should always seek advice from local licensed professionals before making any decisions.
The dictionary defines an entrepreneur as a person who organizes and manages any enterprise, especially a business, usually with considerable initiative and risk. People often start a business without much choice, perhaps due to a job loss or just being dissatisfied at work, and they come up with an idea they just know can be successful. They become entrepreneurs by accident. That is to say, their success or failure happens by accident, not with intention. My name is Mitch Beinhacker. I'm a corporate attorney and a business advisor. You're listening to The Accidental Entrepreneur, my podcast about how to achieve success on purpose, not by accident. Join me along with our monthly guests where we share our knowledge and help you get a hold of your business. And now on to today's episode. Hey everyone, it's Mitch, your host, and welcome to today's show. Just to remind you, the podcast is produced and brought to you by my legal practice, Beinhacker Law. We provide business and estate services to entrepreneurs, inventors, and other small business owners. Whether you're just getting started or you've been operating for a long time, contact us for all your general legal needs, from contracts to client agreements, from purchasing a new location to onboarding a new partner or key employee. We draft all types of agreements and handle most business transactions. For more information about our products and services, visit beinhackerlaw.com or you can follow our link in the show notes. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoyed today's interview. On this Triple Play PodMax event day, this is the third interview that I conducted with Fred Moskowitz, who was a computer engineer turned investor in real estate and notes. And he now teaches people and is writing a book on the topic to help people to create passive income so they're not so dependent on the income that they receive from their job. But welcome, but I appreciate coming on the show with me with this whole podcast, PodMax Global thing. And I was excited to talk to you. The other two guys I had, Tim Dick, who I actually, ironically, I think Mike's interviewing right now, and Devin Scott, who's, I think I was his second podcast interview ever. He's just brand new to the whole business, but we're dealing with a professional now on my podcast. So,
great.
My whole podcast is, you know, long form interview type of thing. And I really want to know like your backstory. I saw your website and I saw what you're doing as a speaker. And, you know, I'm familiar with the whole private note business and the real estate business and stuff. And I find it interesting. I never really gotten into it, but I've done a lot of work and research for clients. But maybe you can go back a little bit and tell me about, you know, your background, where you come from and how you got to where you are now.
Yeah, absolutely. I have a long-standing background in real estate investing for almost 20 years that I got started with that. And what happened was I learned about note investing it kept coming up through my education in real estate. Most of the time it was in the context of as a real estate investor, you sell a property and you can carry owner financing for the buyer, right? Yeah. And still benefit and earn cash flow from that real estate after you don't own it anymore.
Right.
Right. Very popular, especially in commercial deals, to see transaction structure.
Yeah, I do a lot of those transactions on the legal side. And we have sellers taking back notes all the time.
Absolutely. So there exists a whole secondary market where notes are bought and sold every day. And I learned about investing in residential mortgages, and this allowed me to invest in properties all over the U.S., all over the country. And
These are private mortgages or like bank notes?
Bank originated.
Okay.
But private mortgages as well are sold and traded. Okay. I focus more on bank originated, institutionally originated notes.
Right.
As you know, and as many of your listeners know, this happens all the time.
All the time,
yeah. You take out a mortgage when you're buying a property or refinancing, and within 3 to 6 months, you get that letter from the lender saying, "Dear borrower, please note that your loan has been sold, and starting next month, please send your payments to the new lender. Here's their name, address, contact information. And by the way, the terms and conditions of your loan are not changing in any way, so you don't worry about that. The interest rate is the same, the payment is the same, all of that you agreed to." So that happens all the time. And there is a whole secondary market for this.
Right.
And what people don't know is that this is available to individual investors. It's very much a niche area of investing. But it is.
Yeah, because a lot of people don't know about it.
People just don't know about it. They never heard about it. Right. That possible.
Fred, I think a lot of people don't realize that very often your bank, whether it's Wells Fargo or you know, Bank of America, might just be servicing the loan, because you're not servicing it. If you're an investor, you don't want to send out statements to collect money. And they don't realize that there's another investor behind that whole world of servicing, you know,
exactly.
When the foreclosures happen, that happens all the time. And then you're negotiating a short sale, you know, back in 2008, when everything was falling apart. People couldn't figure out, because I did a lot of that legal work, why the bank then had to go to the investor. Like, they were like, "Well, isn't that the bank?" I said, "No, they probably do the servicing. And there's a private party or a group of investors, whatever, that bought these notes and hold them." Or maybe it's in what were those things called? They were put in trusts in those days.
They're in
but it's
trust,
just pooled investment.
Structured investments,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So what happens a lot is when those trusts and investments wind down, maybe because they were only supposed to exist for a certain
period of time,
all those loans get sold off.
Yeah.
So it comes from being in a package of 2,000 loans, and it gets chunked off in smaller increments and sold off, and individual investors are able to buy them.
How did you learn about the note business? I forget how I found out, but it was something through a client or something. But, you know, it's not everywhere. It's unknown. Like you said, it's kind of a niche market.
Yeah, it is. It's very much unknown and a specialized area. And the note investing community, it's small. It's several hundred people that are active in this business throughout the country. So we all know each other, and everything's done through relationships. It's something that you have to get good at to do well in this business, is the ability to build relationships. It's very important.
Because there's no organized exchange where you can go buy the notes, right?
No, there's not any organized exchange, not at all. But for individuals that are interested to get involved in note investing, there's really three ways for them to do it. The first way is, as we mentioned earlier, which is selling a property and originating a note, carrying owner financing, right?
Right.
The second way is to buy it on the secondary market, where you're dealing directly with a seller, you're buying a note that exists already, it's originated, you do your due diligence and evaluate it and buy it. And the third way is to invest in a note fund. Now, note funds are typically set up as private placement offerings.
Okay.
And the operators of the fund will go out, raise capital from investors. They'll pool the capital together in their fund and then take that out to the secondary market and buy notes with it. And one of the big advantages of that is for someone that's not experienced in this business, they're able to invest in notes as a passive investor and leverage the expertise, the experience, the relationships that the fund managers have, and basically partnering up with them and receiving the benefit of the cash flow and income from those notes. And the last point about that is, think about this, there's a risk strategy where instead of an individual investing in one or two notes, if you go into a note fund, right, your investments spread out over hundreds.
Like a mutual fund, right?
Like an insurance company,
right,
will insure a large pool of insureds or a large pool of properties so that the risk is spread out.
Right. So you get some defaults, it's not going to really hurt everybody that much. Your value goes down a little bit.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, and I'm not a securities attorney, but I'm somewhat familiar with the private investor rules, and, you know, and I've done deals like that. Do you have to be an accredited investor to, and we could talk about what that is, so people listening, but do you have to be an accredited investor and invest in these types of private note pools?
Sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. There are different ones. It just depends on the fund structure that was utilized when they set up the investment.
Okay.
So there's different types of offerings that some are restricted only to accredited investors, which basically means you have to be above a threshold of $1 million in net worth or an income level of above I believe it's
200,000 average over 5 years or something like that, right?
Yeah, there's a simple test either through assets or income that you can be considered an accredited investor. But if you're not an accredited investor, there's still other funds and private placements that are available as well. It just depends on what's being offered.
And how does the average investor? So you talked about how an investor might find notes to invest in. How does he find a fund? Are they, so the non-accredited investor must be registered, right? Not necessarily?
No, they don't have to be registered, okay, but it's through good old networking, whether that is attending events where fund operators may attend, right? That's note investing or real estate syndication.
Sure.
Through podcasts, you can learn about different people that operate funds. Those are the main ways. I mean, the investors that I talk to about our fund, it's all through word of mouth, a lot of referrals from people. Investors that are happy obviously will refer their friends, they'll tell others about us, and that's how that is. There's no—
So you're running a fund right now?
I am, yes.
Okay.
So you're typically not allowed to do any kind of advertising or anything like that. So
rules,
there's a lot of rules, a lot of compliance and regulation, which frankly is really good. All of us in America are lucky to have the SEC, the Securities and Exchange Commission, because they act as a watchdogs in the whole industry, making sure the offerings are good, they're done properly, and protects the interests of the investors.
Well, way back, there wasn't anything like this, and people got taken advantage of, and then markets crashed, and that's what happens, right? People lose confidence. If they lost confidence in this market, it would collapse.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely.
So what was I going to ask you? I see that you're now doing like kind of public speaking and motivating coaching, and you teach people both on the real estate investing side and on the note investing side, right?
Yes. Yes, I do. I do. And one of the big projects I'm involved in, I'm finishing up a book that I'm writing about note investing.
Okay.
So that's going to be really a great way to for me to teach from a one-to-many perspective is through that book.
So if somebody goes to your website, can they get on your mailing list and know when the book comes out?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. So we'll put the we'll put the link in the show notes and then get people on your mailing list, right?
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
I love connecting with other investors and learning about what they do. And I'm sure you've seen this as well in your law practice. You meet people involved in such diverse businesses.
Oh,
diverse
yeah.
Things that you never knew existed.
Right.
So it's always nice to get to know people and what they're involved in and network and expand your horizons, because it gives you a chance to take note of new opportunities and learn new things.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, you see things on TV and you see, you know, like some of these systems of whether it's note buying or investing in real estate or what, there's all kinds of stuff out there and you don't really think it's real. But as through my law practice, I would meet people that are actually doing this. Like, you know, you hear about flipping houses and doing that kind of stuff and it's not real unless you meet somebody. So I met Mike, wrote a book on it, and he's doing a lot of flipping. Then he introduced me to this young kid, Tyler, who's coming on the show, who I think did a 7-day house flip or something.
Wow.
Yeah, they had like a challenge. Yeah, that included renovation. So they had, what was that show where they, the dream house thing where they come in and they redid your house in like 3 days to send you to Disneyland? So it was kind of like that. They had it wasn't the kind of work I think where you needed like inspectors to come in, because they were just renovating. They were doing cosmetic renovations and putting in new appliances and things like that. But yeah, 7 days from, I don't know if they closed, but they bought the property, 7 days were in a new contract to sell it.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. His name's Tyler. You can ask Mike about him. He's a real nice, he's a kid. I think he's in his 20s or something. You know, you get these kids. I wish I knew real estate when I was in my 20s. I'd probably be in a different place now, but it took me 20 or 30 years to meet the people that I know now who do it. I learned it on the legal side.
I can totally relate to that, Mitch. I felt the same way. I thought I got started late, but then I always meet people that are older than me and they look at me and they say, oh, I wish
right.
I got
you say the same
when
thing.
I was your age, and I'm thinking the same thing myself to people
right.
that are way younger than I am. That's interesting.
Right. It's the journey of life. You know, I think if you're younger, maybe you weren't, you don't receive the information the same, so you might not appreciate it or realize it or learn it or I don't know, whatever it happens to be.
Exactly. Mitch, let me tell you a story. When this is really where I got exposed to
real estate. Yeah, I'm just going to ask you that, actually. How, yeah.
Right? It was when I was in college.
Okay.
I rented an apartment from my landlord, right, who lived in the same building as me.
Okay.
I went to college in Philadelphia, studied there. And the owner lived on the first floor. It was a triplex. I lived on the third floor apartment.
Okay.
And real nice guy, down to earth. But he was a working class guy, blue collar worker, his whole life. But you wouldn't ever know he owned millions and millions of dollars of real estate free and clear.
Right. There's that book. What's it called? The Millionaire Next Door
Millionaire
or something?
Next Door.
Right.
Yes.
It's these people that you don't know. They've just been saving and saving and saving and buying. And yeah.
And he owned all of these rentals, but there was no debt on them at all. And I thought that was amazing.
Right.
And that was my first exposure to that. And here I am, I'm in my 20s.
What are you studying at this point?
Computer engineering.
Okay, so not real estate, not investing.
Not
finance.
Not at all.
Okay.
Not at all.
Okay.
And now a word from our sponsors. NowSite Marketing, the first all-in-one marketing platform powered by artificial intelligence. It's everything you need to market online, and it's totally automated. Build custom websites, Optimize them for Google rankings and automatically create ads and social media posts to drive the most traffic to your sites. Their fully integrated system generates regular email newsletters, manages all your customers and prospects, and provides up-to-date marketing analytics. Now, Site, you do your thing, and we'll do the marketing. Use our affiliate link in the show notes to learn more about NowSite and how it can help your business. Uplift your marketing and reinforce your brand with a digital business card from Digital Accelerant. Use a text marketing combination to stand out in front of your competition. Digital business cards make you memorable and most of all help you bring in new business through its warm lead generator. Motion graphics, intro, outro, and inspirational videos can be added during setup. Text the word LAW to 21000, that's L-A-W to 21000, or follow our link in the show notes to learn how you can get this valuable tool for you and your company. Suffering from slow internet speed? Worried about hackers? Fetch Pro gets the internet from your smartphone to your Windows and Mac computer without paying for a hotspot. Always get the fastest, most stable, and secure internet access on your computer with Fetch Pro. Follow their link in our show notes to learn more and get connected with Fetch. And now back to our show.
Yeah, and so he, through him, I got exposed to the way that real estate could build wealth right. For someone that has a long-term perspective. And yeah. I always thought about, at the time, I wasn't really motivated to do anything with that knowledge, but later on in my life, I thought about that and realized this is something I need to look into and learn about.
So do you remember, so you did go pursue computer science, right? You're working in that industry?
Computer engineering.
Okay.
Yeah, I worked in that industry for over 20 years. And
is that like designing systems for system companies? Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Computer right. systems, computer networks, video systems. And what happened to me, I'll share a little story. I was working at different companies when I was a young engineer.
Okay.
And eventually what happened is that I found myself sitting on a chair on the beach in northeastern Brazil, sitting there with the hot sun blaring down on my skin.
Right.
And I was there spending the afternoon playing guitar, practicing bossa nova rhythms.
Okay.
The reason I was in Brazil is because I needed to get away.
It was a vacation.
Quite a long one, because I was coming down from the aftershock of having lived through the bursting of the dot-com bubble. Followed by 9/11.
Yeah, the whole industry collapsed, right?
Right. Remember that?
And yeah.
Dot-com bubble burst, and then 9/11. So it was like a 1-2 punch in our economy
where
things really went into a negative spiral. And I had been working as a computer engineer. I was at a tech startup that had imploded, and I lost my job.
Right.
And this was not the first time I had gone through that experience. But I realized I had been spending all these years of my life just building someone else's dream instead of building my own.
Right.
And what that soul-searching time did for me is that I came to the realization that I needed to have other sources of income so that I wasn't dependent on the paycheck for my job. And so eventually I continued working as an engineer, but I started investing in assets that would pay cash flow and income.
Right.
So that now I had a second income.
Your side hustle, basically. Yeah.
Yeah. And no matter what happened, if I couldn't work anymore, if the company went bankrupt, anything like that, I still have income from my investments.
Right.
It started out with real estate and rentals, eventually moved into notes, which I found one of the advantages of note investing is that you could really scale massively.
You're not plumbing out toilets in the middle of the night.
Right. It's a lot less. One of the benefits, what you mentioned earlier about loan servicers.
Right.
Very important vendor for a note investor. And the reason is that the loan servicer, what do? they are the front end for the note. They manage your note. They send out statements to the borrower. They collect the payments.
You don't have to deal with the borrower at all. They don't even know who you are, right?
They take care of all the accounting, right? If they send out the end of year tax statements to the borrower saying, here's how much interest you paid and so on. If a property gets sold, they take care of preparing the payoff statement, keeping track of where in the amortization schedule your loan was, all of that. So think of it, a loan servicer, just like a property manager for a rental property. Manager for the note.
Right.
And they do this at a very reasonable cost. It's like $15 to $25 a month per note. So it's very low cost. And the other thing they do.
And they're doing thousands and thousands of them. That's how they're making their money.
Very high volume.
Yeah.
But they take care of the compliance, which is in the previous few years, that's been more and more prevalent. So any notices that have to get sent, any compliance details, they take care of that for you.
Right. Yeah. Before the crash, there was a lot of banks that weren't really following the rules. They figured, well, if people default, they're in bad shape. They're just going to, you know, they're going to just default on the foreclosure action. And then people started like questioning things and they're like, oops, and they've been not following the rules. But I think that's a good point, because you said you tend to invest in bank originated notes. I would assume because the risk is a lot lower, right? You have a financial institution doing the due diligence. You don't have some seller saying, sure, here's a mortgage, I don't care.
Yeah, and you exactly. And you know that the documents were prepared according to some standards that are state-specific for that state, right? Our fund, we invest in notes all over the country. So we don't know exactly the legal details for every state. So we have to rely on some of that standardization and working with local legal counsel in each state where the notes are. But we want to make sure that everything's done in a compliant manner and done properly.
So now do you, when the fund is buying notes, does it tend to be like a package where the bank says, listen, we got 10,000 notes. We're not going to let you go through every single one of them, pick and choose. You got to buy the whole thing, or?
That's what happens, but there are many, companies and other investors that will buy directly from the banks in those large multi-thousand note packages. They get broken down in different categories and classes. And so subsets of that end up getting sold off. It goes down several levels. A lot of institutional funds out in Wall Street and New York that specifically deal in these type of assets, they buy. They're the ones that will buy from the larger banks and then break them up and sell them in smaller components.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. So maybe you're paying a little bit more of a premium, but you don't have to do the work to deal with that kind of stuff.
Correct. And you're buying at a level that's appropriate for you as far as the transaction size, right? Yeah. Because people think, I'm going to go call Bank of America or Wells Fargo and try to buy notes from them. And yes, they sell notes all the time, but they're selling notes in a 5,000 note transaction with tens of millions of dollars. And that's not appropriate for an individual investor to buy.
No, and they don't want to spend the money to do a one transaction. It's not worth it to them.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah.
So let's go back a little bit. So you came to this point in your life where you're like, listen, I need like a fallback. I don't know what's going to happen with the tech industry. I want to work for the rest of my life. So how did you get started? Do you remember? How did you start buying real estate and finding things and learning about it? Because, you know, how does the average person do that?
Well, I started looking in my local market in Philadelphia, and I joined a real estate investment association, which was one of the first pieces of advice that was given to me about real estate investing. So I joined the organization, and they're really focused on education and networking. And it was there that I started to learn all different facets of real estate investing. And I learned about it. And you remember, you got to remember, not everything's for you. Not everyone wants to get involved in flipping properties.
More hands on, right.
Right. Other people don't want to, they don't want to be a property owner and deal with tenants, all of that. So you have, you just find your way and find what's appropriate for you and for your lifestyle that, that works for you. But that's really how I got started. And eventually I learned about note investing and transitioned to that because with
Do you still own, Fred, any properties or no, you've transitioned?
Yeah, I do. Okay. I do. But what I found appealing about note investing were three things. Basically, with notes, you're able to buy them at a discount to the amount owed.
Right.
You're buying an asset.
Which increases your rate, really, in your rate of return, yeah, right?
And decreases your risk.
Okay. Because now there's some equity, some play in there.
Exactly. And right. You're buying an asset which is backed by collateral, right? And the third is that you can earn a really high rate of return. So when I saw those three aspects, note investing became very appealing to me. Sure. And that's why I pursued that. But real estate, as you were asking earlier, very powerful. I'm still involved in real estate deals. I invest a good amount in syndications that other people are operating because they have that expertise.
Right. You're I'm just a passive investor.
Exactly. A passive investor.
A lot of guys
that do that. My retirement
sure.
account.
Okay.
And I really like that.
Self-directed IRA? Is that what?
Yeah, self-directed IRA. I do quite a bit with that.
Sure.
And that allows me access into a 200-unit apartment building, right?
That you don't want to own yourself, yeah.
I normally would not be that would not be appropriate for me to manage.
You'd have to hire a super. You'd have to have staff people. I mean, you know, you're in the
right. It's like a but someone job. That's their business,
they're equipped for it.
They have all that built out.
Yeah.
So now I'm able to leverage their expertise and experience and skill sets as a passive investor and participate in that.
Yeah, I think people, you know, they get all, especially young couples, they get all gung-ho. We're going to buy a couple of two-family houses. We're going to grow this. And they don't, especially on the residential side. So the commercial side's a little bit easier from a legal standpoint, right. But they don't learn the tenancy laws in the state in which they are. And they get in trouble. Like they got a tenant, the tenant won't leave and their lease is terrible. It doesn't meet the legal requirements and it's hard to get them out. In New Jersey, it's very difficult to get somebody out who's paying the rent. I had a call ironically, at lunchtime today from a gentleman who has a house and I guess an apartment in the basement. I'm not even sure if it's legal, but it's in New Jersey and there's a separate entrance. So he allowed this guy to rent it who was like living on the streets or whatever. He gave him a lease. It's a month-to-month type of thing. The guy's paying the rent. So he says, well, now I want him to leave because I want to renovate the thing. I said, it's not going to be that easy if he's paying the rent. New Jersey has anti-eviction laws, and I want people just thrown out in the street. In the 70s, there was a shortage of housing in New Jersey, and they passed laws that said, you know, landlords can just throw someone out. You know, if you're going to move into the house, that's different. But, you know, so now he's like, well, what do I do? He's like, well, don't do favors for people next time as a landlord. So the one thing I tell people is that if you're going to get it, there are ways, like you said, to get involved either in a syndicate, you know, in a partnership, in a fund, or even in the note business where you aren't doing and you're not dealing with all the stuff of being a landlord. And that's what these people are good at, you know, the ones you invest with. Now, I was going to ask you, if you hold a note, right, through the bank and they default, and a foreclosure action has to be instituted, it's the servicer that's dealing with all that and bringing in their legal counsel and so forth?
Yes.
So you don't even have to worry about it. I mean, they'll confer with you?
Yeah, absolutely. But they take care of that for you.
And then how does that get paid? That gets paid out of the foreclosure funds or something when the property's sold?
Yes.
Okay. So there's a loss.
The investor that owns the note has to fund all of that
right.
activity. But it's a very important point because there's, especially when it comes to debt collection, there's a lot of compliance.
A lot.
a lot. And the servicers follow all of that. They're trained appropriately and yeah. they handle that. So you need, this is where a case where you need to let the experts do what they're good at.
Yeah. On the residential side, there's the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act. Doesn't apply to commercial notes, but it does apply to residential notes. And if you run awry of that, you can be paying all kinds of penalties.
Yes.
There's attorneys that just look for violations of that law and sue people because the statutory in New Jersey, it's terrible. You know, that's some attorneys there. Can you believe that? Unscrupulous attorneys. It's almost like an oxymoron, right? So, but what I was saying before was that you were saying that the price that you pay of the note is important because especially in like a default situation. So if you paid, let's use an extreme example, is you paid 50 cents on the dollar, right? And there's equity in the property, then it's more likely that they will sell the property and you will get paid off, pay the legal fees and all those types of stuff. If you paid 90 cents on the dollar and the market drops or there's a default, you got a lot more risk, right?
Right. You definitely have to do some risk assessment and due diligence and really just push a pencil to the numbers and run through those scenarios. Yes.
Sure.
Very important in your analysis and your due diligence before ever buying a note. If anyone was doing that for the first time, it's a really good idea to work with your legal counsel, someone in practicing in the state where the property is located, so they can advise you and give you good guidance.
Now you said you buy notes all over the country, right? So
yes.
Are you working with a national law firm? You have different.
No, we different just places? Have, we have relationships with attorneys all over the country.
Yeah.
Yeah. And many attorneys practice in multiple adjoining states. So
sure.
That helps. But absolutely. There's so many jurisdictional nuances that you have to be mindful about that. You really need to pay attention to that. And over time, you build relationships with law firms and attorneys and work with them on an ongoing basis.
Sure, absolutely. So I saw from your website that you do kind of train and coach and work with people who want to get into this business. You have videos on your website, right?
Yes.
So how, if somebody wants to interact with you or wants to start learning from you and learning about the business, what should they do?
Well, there's a couple ways. I have a book coming out in about 2 months from now, which will be all about note investing. I cover a lot about investing from your retirement account and how that works. So that will be a great resource. Any listeners can connect with me by visiting my website, which is fredmoskowitz.com.
Easy.
Or even easier is if you text on your mobile phone, text the word note, N-O-T-E, to the number 47177, and then follow the prompts. You'll be able to connect with me and reach me that way. And I always love hearing from different investors, learning about what they do, and people are involved with so many different facets of investing. It's fascinating. So I always like connecting with folks.
If you like the podcast, please tell others about us. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, on Google Podcasts, on Amazon Music, and many of the other podcast directories. If you like what you hear, please leave us a 5-star review and feel free to share our episodes on social media. If you have any questions or comments, ideas for the show, or you'd even like to appear as a guest, reach out to us by email at info@beinhackerlaw.com. The Accidental Entrepreneur is hosted and produced by me, Mitch Beinhacker. If you'd like more information about my legal services, you can find me on social media or visit my website at beinhackerlaw.com. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe to our feed to be notified of all future episodes.